Nationwide with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rum in the window, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, professors, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight, featuring commentary by Dave Lundy, Renato Mariotti, Joe Morris, and Chris Roebling. Our program tonight coming to you from our home base at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago, where our toll-free lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. If you'd like to email me a comment, it's brucedumont@museum.tv. If you want to tweet me a comment, it's @Dumo. And, of course, you can join us on the World Wide Web at beyondthebeltway.com. That is both the audio and video portion of the show every week. And if you miss it on Sunday night, it is there for years to come, so you will not miss it. I want to begin tonight. We have just another, packed 2 hours. There's so much just happened this past week. But Dave Lundy, I want to start with you because you are a prolific Facebook offer of your opinion. And I also know you are a huge Chicago Cubs fan. You go to the baseball games a lot with your son, Eli. And so my first question to everyone, I'm going to put it in baseball parlance. Based last week on the James Comey testimony, did he strike out? Did he hit a single, double, triple, home run, grand slam home run? What did he do when he was at bat last week?
Well, I apologize, but I'm going to reject the premise of your question because I don't think that when you're talking about somebody accusing the president of being a compulsive liar, that you can call that a home run. I think that's a disgrace for America.
Okay. Joe Morris, I'm sorry, Chris Roebling, let's get your reaction.
Well, we learned that over 8 years, and I think that David is right with the rule but wrong with the application. I think that, James Comey hit, I would say he sort of hit a single. I mean, I think that Comey is a very odd person, and I think that came across, and I think he was placed in a very odd position by the president, and by circumstances dating back to last year.
Renato also joins us. Renato Mariotti, you were a former assistant United States attorney, and when he was at bat last week, from your side, you're a Democrat, but you're also a man of the law. What did you think he did last week?
I thought he accomplished his goals, which were to recount the facts as he remembered them, to do so in a credible way. I thought he came off as credible. There are senators on both sides who said that they found him credible. He was forthcoming about issues that might have complicated that, for example, like giving his notes to his friend. He was forthcoming about that. He was dissembling of himself and noted potential bias that he had. And did that well.
Joe Morris is our other guest. He is also a former assistant attorney general of the United States during the Reagan administration, also a man of the law. What did he do at bat last week, Joe?
It was a dropped third strike. It gets registered as a strikeout, but he makes it to first base. That is to say, we see once again that public servants, government is imperfect. It's full of people who lie. It's full of people who dissemble. It's full of people who have agendas that are not always the agendas that they tell you that they have. And it tells you that we should be grateful we live in a constitutional republic where checks and balances are finally being taken seriously again.
Last week, I was in California, so I was not watching it. I was listening to it on public radio. And I was driving along, and early on, okay, he's really doing well. He's doing all the things that I thought he would do. And then he gets to the point where, okay, I took my notes. I gave my notes to my friend at the Columbia Law School, and he gave them to the New York Times. And I almost drove off the road. I said, wait a minute. It seems to me that he's handing the Republicans an issue that they can focus on and completely turn these hearings around. Dave, when you heard him admit that, and I guess he gets credit for acknowledging something that I think in retrospect probably was stupid and doesn't help at least your side politically. But what was your reaction when he said that?
My reaction was I was not driving. I was watching it on television, and my jaw dropped. It didn't drop about the leaking, because I don't consider it leaking. I consider it more a whistleblower in an untenable situation. He tried to talk to his superiors. They ignored him. He tried to reach out. He was literally ignored and then fired. So I think he was trying to preserve the record. But it just was stunning to me that he said, I did this with the purpose of getting a special counsel appointed. That was a level of calculation that I was both impressed and disturbed by.
Okay. Chris Roebling, I want to get everybody's reaction focused just on this question.
Well, I think it showed that he had an agenda and that he was only too happy to bend the rules to the benefit of Hillary Clinton and the Democrats in 2016 in the midst of an unprecedented criminal investigation of a candidate for chief magistrate of the United States. But in this case, with President Trump, he was taking these extraordinary steps that you two mention to, as he said, try to create a groundswell for the appointment of a special counsel.
Renato, you don't seem to be, at least in your response to the first question, you're not too concerned about the admission? You see it as a plus that it was forthcoming?
I do. First of all, it wasn't illegal, so I don't consider it a problem from that perspective. But it was very savvy. Whenever I put a witness on the stand as a prosecutor, I would put their baggage out front. I wouldn't let it come out on cross-examination. Here, he was testifying in front of potential jurors in a trial of the president, mm-hmm. and he told them up front what his baggage was, what the issues were. By the time there is a trial, if there is one, it'll be old news.
Joe, your reaction.
I think it's revealing that this former director of the FBI, like many other players in the Washington game, make up their own rules as they go along. It's been pointed out that that he played the leak game rather than take the matter to Congress. If he was a whistleblower, I would think he would find somebody, a sympathetic Democrat or a ranking member on a Senate or House committee, to take the matter to.
He could have walked out of that meeting with the president that day and called a press conference.
And resigned.
Or resigned.
Right. Resigned. Right. I mean, the honorable thing to do when you're a civil servant and you're getting an order or something disturbing that you think is inconsistent with your ethical standards is you resign and you explain publicly why you're resigning. He chose not to do that. I think it's striking that lots of things came out in his testimony that did not leak that would have benefited Mr. Trump. For example, three times I assured him that he was not under investigation for some kind of collusion with the Russians in connection with the activities during the election campaign. Striking that that information never made it into newspapers or the media generally. The selective leaking is a big business in Washington, D.C. It's not something which any player should be proud.
And it's part of the M.O. of the FBI.
Oh, and the intelligence services, too.
Right. Renato.
I was just going to say, what Mr. Comey testified was that he went back and talked to FBI leadership after that meeting with the president that he claims. And no one in FBI leadership suggested that he resign or that he speak to anyone else as he reported it. And it's very hard for me to fault Mr. Comey for doing something that no one else, that everyone else in leadership felt.
Fair enough, but I think that, like so many other things in this whole mess, which is entirely diversionary and without basis and just an attempt to deny the American people the bargain that they made last November
no,
at the election.
No,
this
well,
is
no.
entirely a diversion. And in that case, I think it cuts both ways. Had Comey really thought it was serious, he could have taken action, whatever that action may have been.
He
didn't think it was serious enough to take any serious action, and so he acts post facto.
I'm going to give you a chance to follow up, but we do have to pause. 1-800-723-8229 from coast to coast and border to border. I'm sure you heard the testimony or watched it. What did you think last week? James Comey before the Senate committee. Back shortly.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
Thank you all very much, Admiral Kelly, Captain Card, officers and sailors of the USS Abraham Lincoln, my fellow Americans. Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school. Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Texas. Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Thanks for joining us tonight. 1-800-723-8029. One other point, and then we're going to button up this topic unless people want to take it a little bit further. The other thing that obviously he admitted giving the information to his friend, the law school professor, who then decided, I guess any good law professor would take something.
No. He gave it to the law professor to give to
leak.
The New York Times.
To leak. But the law, his fingerprints were on it.
Yes.
He could have said, wait a minute, I don't think that's fair. But he didn't. He was a friend. My question is, if he admitted to doing that once,
yes,
isn't he highly suspect of doing it other times, like when the story broke about the loyalty pledge, which was out there in the body politic for a long time? Everybody was playing it as gospel. And then that clearly had his fingerprints on it.
That's absolutely fair, Bruce. There's a lot of stuff that's been being leaked, some of it unlawfully. Some of it, you know, identifications of people who've been, quote-unquote, unmasked because they've turned up in reports of lawful or other surveillance under the Foreign Intelligence Act and so forth. That people have been pointing fingers at folks in the old Obama administration saying, well, you know, maybe former Secretary of State so-and-so did this, or maybe somebody from the National Security Council, maybe Mr. Obama himself. But it's equally plausible, perhaps even more likely, that that kind of stuff is coming out of people, investigators, whether in the intelligence community or in the FBI. And now James Comey makes himself suspect number one for all that stuff.
Well, but let's not say all that stuff. I mean, the reality is that during the presidential election, the New York field office, every time Comey did something they didn't like, they leaked about it. There's so much information that came out of there. No, come on, Chris. There's so much information that came out of there, and that's the reason that
None
Comey
of this
felt compelled.
Matters to regular Americans. No.
Oh,
this
is that the tack you're going to take now?
Inside
when things
Beltway
are when facts
stuff.
Are inconvenient
no,
for
no,
you,
no,
you're
no,
going to
no,
say,
no.
"Oh, I, no, 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 this doesn't
I,
matter
I grant
to the American
you your
people."
Point about what the New York field
99% of what Donald Trump
do.
Said last year didn't matter to the American people, but here we are.
Hold on a second.
Wait.
I started this interruption.
Can we take Chris, and then we're going to go back to Joe. Chris.
What matters are jobs for Americans. What matters is
How was infrastructure
a legislative
week?
Program that Trump said he would deliver, which he may yet deliver or he may not deliver. What matters is our place in the world, the security of our families. Those are the issues that matter. And Trump represents a direct and, I believe, mortal threat to the statist ideology of the Democratic Party. That's why we're dealing with all of this unbased, absolutely irrelevant.
As I've said many times, I agree with you. The people beyond the Beltway are not talking about this issue. We're not getting a lot of calls on this issue. However, the D.C. media and the Democrats, they are focusing on it. And just like in Watergate, it's that constant, you know, it's more than a drip. It's a faucet every single day. On the Trump administration. So this story, even though we may want it to go away, it isn't going to go away. And here's one other thing. I want to get everybody's reaction to this. This obviously is a highly partisan issue. It gives the members of Congress, who are first and foremost politicians, successful politicians, right and left, they get a chance to do what they really know well, which is politics. They don't know how to figure, you know, they can't figure out the budget. They can't figure out all the things that the people want. Those are too complicated. Politics is sort of a simple thing. You figure out which side you're on, and you get your talking points, and you keep talking, and you hope you can talk your way to the next election. So they love doing this. Because every day they can talk about this, they don't have to answer some constituents' complaint about what's wrong with health care.
With all due respect, the fact is that the Republicans are also using this investigation, as in on Friday when they were everybody was focused on Comey and they canceled Dodd-Frank. They took a vote to get rid of Dodd-Frank.
It was Thursday. And it is not a cancellation.
Okay. Yes, fine.
Go ahead.
Nonetheless, the point is that Chris before the break pontificated about how, this is all a distraction. There's no there. This is about the last election. No, it's about our leading foreign adversary that tried to change the results of the American election. And Comey, in his testimony that Burr brought out initially, said there is zero doubt that not only was there Russian interference in this election, but that it started at the top and was a broad-based aggressive scheme consistent with what is going going to happen.
Dave, what you're doing is dirty pool.
The top of Russia.
What you're doing is dirty pool because it's the top of Russia, not the top of the United States. The accusation that you and some of your brutal, vicious fellow Democrats are doing is trying to claim that Donald Trump was corrupt, participating, colluding.
Okay. Donald Trump is corrupt, but that's a different point.
There's no kind of corruption, though, Dave.
Whoa. Time out here, guys.
The claim you're trying to make is that Donald Trump in some way colluded with the Russians in order to affect the outcome of the election. That the Russians were attempting to affect the outcome of the American election, I think, is beyond doubt. That's a serious problem.
Well, it's not beyond doubt to a lot of your fellow Republicans who for months, Donald Trump.
I don't think that's true.
Donald Trump. I'm naming one. Donald Trump, who has tweeted on multiple occasions.
This is talking points.
You
are reduced to talking
points. These are his
points.
Tweets that no, this is no. a hoax.
There is absolutely.
Donald Trump has tweeted this.
You are absolutely misrepresenting the
I'm
historic record.
I'm not misrepresenting anything.
The fact is.
And the collusion may not be proven yet, but that is what Mueller is going to look into, and we will find out.
You're rewriting history. If there was any party that was blind to the problems of Russian attempts to intervene in American politics, it was the Democratic Party. Remember how during the 2012 campaign, in a debate with Mitt Romney, Mr. Obama descended from his Olympian cloud in a supercilious, unctuous remonstration against Mitt Romney. Said the 1980s are calling, they want their foreign policy back because Mitt Romney had said that the greatest threat to the United States was Russia. It was Barack Obama who was poo-pooing that.
Renato, chair recognizes Renato.
Thank you. First of all, I think it's interesting that the Republican Party or many elements with it have now embraced Russia as a friend or have praised Russia. So that would be the first thing. But the other thing that I'd like to say is this. There was some talk, and I'm going to take issue with what you said, Bruce, that a lot of what's going on in Washington doesn't matter. And one thing that does matter is what Bob Mueller is doing, and because it could potentially shake up this administration, and it could change the course of this country.
From the Obama administration. Now, come on.
He
now could be looking back at Loretta Lynch and her inappropriate conversation.
Okay. I don't know.
Someone from Obama.
I don't know what he's looking at.
Let him finish.
But the idea that is that the media is just wasting everyone's time focusing on what Mueller's doing is not true.
What I said, it may be a relevant, important point to some people. I don't believe that it's a relevant, important point to the masses. The 62 million, and I realize you're going to tell me more people voted for Hillary Clinton. You're right. The 62 million people who voted for Donald Trump in the right states that made him the president of the United States, this is not in their top 10 of issues that they care about.
I agree.
And you know what they're also saying right now? And I think they've been saying for the last several months? Okay. We voted for the guy who was going to shake up the establishment. We voted, we put him in office, and the establishment is not going to let him do what we want him
exactly.
to do. They're going to stop him. They're going to slow him down. And all the power that we have in the country, whether it's the media power, the academic power, and the political party of the Democrats, they're all ganging up on Donald Trump. They're not going to let him do his job.
The Republicans control both houses of Congress and the presidency and the Supreme Court. And so really they could do pretty much whatever they want if they could all agree amongst themselves. But really they have not accomplished anything.
And we heard today from
Lindsey Graham that he thinks health care reform is dead. So maybe there isn't any news that the American people care about because nothing is happening in Washington.
I want to ask one follow-up. I want everybody to respond. Joe, I'm going to let you respond first. If you're the Trump voter, if you're one of the 62 million people out there, what's happening right now, and again, Dave referenced, as Comey referenced himself, that one of the reasons why he gave the notes to his friend to give to the New York Times was that he wanted to force a special counsel. Okay, we now have a special counsel, okay? The special counsel is one of Jim Comey's best friends.
Yep.
So if you're someone who he wanted to throw the rascals out, right now, the guy that's in charge of all this that everybody's looking to now is Mueller.
Tainted. Ought to resign.
You've got to be kidding.
He's absolutely tainted. He ought to resign.
Today. Oh, my God.
Joe is going to go first.
What do you think about the appearance of impropriety because of the close working relationship these two men had professionally?
I think that the typical American Trump voter looks at this situation and says, this is exactly the problem that I thought there existed when I cast my vote for Donald Trump.
Right.
This does not undermine my faith in Donald Trump. It cements my growing lack of faith
in the American system, and I want it shaken up.
I think
Renato.
Sure, I think
on the issue of the relationship.
I understand.
Does the relationships frighten you in any way, insofar as its potential objectivity?
It doesn't bother me for two reasons. One, anyone who is qualified to take this extremely important role would have had some dealings with Comey. And second of all, leaders of both parties have praised Mueller and have said he's a great choice. And frankly, Trump was considering appointing him before he was appointed as special counsel.
All right. Here is my point. How can Mueller face the American public after he has brought on assistants who have been accused, and I think have found to have, denied when they were prosecutors, and this is a sacred responsibility that you as a prosecutor once held in your very hands, they obtained evidence that was exculpatory for the defendant in their case, and they took steps not to release that evidence to the defense. I believe this shows all the signs of being a witch hunt. I believe there are people who have absolute highest standing and who are not prepared to go outside of the rails. And I don't think Mueller
is... What are you talking about? I just don't understand what evidence you're referring to.
I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but I think Mueller is a long-time close professional associate and personal friend of Comey, and to the extent that the Comey element of this investigation is dispositive of the outcome, everyone is going to look at this as biased
this
and tainted.
This case is not about Comey. It's about Donald
about
Trump.
Relying on Comey for the last six months.
We've got to pause. Back shortly from Chicago with your phone calls.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Back in Chicago, thanks very much for joining us. As you all know, if you're listening to this program, you know we do it every Sunday night from the Museum of Broadcast Communications. And tomorrow, June 12th, it marks the 30th anniversary of the museum. 30 years ago tomorrow, we opened at our first location at 800 South Wells Street. We spent 5 years there. And then on June 12th of 1992, we moved to the Chicago Cultural Center. And there to cut the ribbon right outside the Cultural Center was Fess Parker, who played Davy Crockett, Art Nielsen, who is the A.C. Nielsen Company founder, Don McNeil of the Breakfast Club, Mickey Mouse, because our first exhibition was about Walt Disney, and also Bernard Shaw of CNN. And then 5 years ago, we opened in this building where we do this program, and 5 years ago tomorrow joining me was Betty White, and also Chris Bergen, who is the tall son of Edgar Bergen, and then Hugh Downs, probably on television more than any person. And then also in that picture, if you're watching us on television, was John Mahoney. So that was 5 years ago. And again, for those of you who have noticed our new coffee mugs, if you would like a coffee mug and you would like to be a member of the Museum of Broadcast Communications, you can be a member. You can go to museum.tv. It's a $30 membership. You can go to museum.tv, and if you go to museum.tv, you can get a 20-ounce mug, and you can use it and wear it. And again, also, if you're a museum member, we have a lot of benefits coming up this coming month as we begin the celebration of, really, it's 35 years, because we spent 5 years before we even opened. So it's really our 35th anniversary, but tomorrow is a big
end.
We've always opened on the same day, June 12th. It's always been the same day.
If I buy a membership tomorrow, June 12th, do I get to vote for president of the museum?
that would be a good
thing. All things are political.
Well, think about it.
So you're going to buy a vote. I'm going to buy my vote. There you go.
Are you just going to buy one? Mm-hmm. Somebody may buy two. Anyway, but museum.tv, but again, thanks very much. You wanted to make a point before the break, yeah. Dave?
Well, first of all, I would like to demonstrate. This is a lovely mug. I feel like a very small person with this mug. It's gigantic.
It's 20 ounces.
It's a huge mug. So
this would cost you about, if you filled this with coffee from Starbucks, it'd probably be about $40, right?
So the point I wanted to make before
the mug means that the breaks in our show here are really very important.
Yeah, exactly. So the point I wanted to make is that what Chris started to do, and apparently what I didn't know that Newt Gingrich had done this today. Apparently this is the new Republican talking point. This is a pre-buttle. They spent Donald Trump came out very aggressively and the Republicans came out very aggressively against Comey in the last 72 hours or so trying to destroy his character. And now they're going to do the same thing to Robert Mueller, a guy who, by all accounts, is the one guy everybody in Washington can agree upon was a man of the highest moral character and rectitude and that nobody had ever questioned his integrity before. Well, apparently what we're going to do, because they're afraid of where this investigation is going.
This is a pre-buttle. You've gone off the rails again. If somebody was afraid, they wouldn't be volunteering to testify under oath. You know, Donald Trump says, I'll go 100%. I'll testify under oath. I'm not afraid. What I'm afraid of is the lost opportunity to implement a plan of reform that will bring this federal government under control and do something for the hardworking American
taxpayer.
This, what you guys are worried about is loss of control of the deep state.
One last point. In that very comment, Donald Trump said something that was contradicted by his own son the next day on Fox.
And he can be impeached.
Donald Trump said that he never said that about Flynn. And Donald Trump Jr. literally the next day on Fox said, well, all my dad said was that I hope you could see your way clear.
Dave, you don't like Donald Trump.
We know that. Follow up, and then I want to get ran out. Let me just ask this quick follow-up question. The fact that everybody bipartisan loves Robert Mueller, to the 62 million people that voted for Donald Trump, that is not the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. It really isn't. Because they say, you know what, these guys are all together. You know, they socialize, they go to the same parties. I mean, you know, they work together. They were the brilliant guys that couldn't find the anthrax perpetrator. I mean, they worked together on that case. So this is the consummate D.C. insiders investigating each other. Mm-hmm. And the 62 million people that voted for Donald Trump said, that's what we voted against. Mm-hmm.
Can I follow up on something on that? The most amazing thing that Jim Comey said during his testimony to me, that is the most amazing thing I heard him say, was that in the nearly 10 years that he has been the director of the FBI, he can count on the fingers of one hand the number of occasions on which he'd met privately with the President of the United States, whether that was George W. Bush or Barack Obama. In fact, he said he met two times privately with Mr. Obama, and one of them was just to say goodbye when Mr. Obama was leaving office. I find that astonishing and an unacceptable way to run a government. The president, there's grown up this mythology that the director of the FBI is in some way independent of the executive branch and that the president and should not control what the FBI and other investigative or, for that matter, intelligence agencies do. That's nonsense and it's undemocratic. It's aconstitutional. It's a danger. Somebody has to watch the watchmen and be politically accountable for them, and that's the president of the United States. All executive power under our Constitution derives is vested in the President of the United States, and the President should be a hands-on manager of what the Director of the FBI does. It is a mistake to treat
I have to say the independence of the Justice Department that has developed over decades I think is important. And frankly, there are now rules at the Justice Department about communications between political figures and certain officials
and there
the
should
Justice
be
Department.
And there should be so but that I should think, not that should not obtain between the shocking, director and the president
him, let him finish
yeah and what was most shocking to me was that of all the investigations that the FBI had, the president, apparently according to Mr. Comey, was not concerned about the investigation into the Russian intrusion or about any other investigation.
That's false. That's absolutely false.
That's not what Comey said.
I'm reporting what Mr. Comey said. Chris,
one at a time.
Let's be civil with one another.
One at a time.
So, well, let's stick to the facts.
Just one second.
Well, I don't know what the facts are.
I'll tell you what the facts are.
I'm reporting what Mr. Comey said.
So no, you're wrong about what Comey said. Rich. Comey said that if Trump found that any of the satellites related to him the campaign,
Trump said
if the investigation,
if the investigation found that any of the satellites related to him, he wanted to know about it.
That was good, and they ought to go do that, and he wanted
to
know about
it. That's not at all what Renato just said. What Renato said.
What Renato said was that Comey reported Trump's indifference to the prosecution of the investigation.
No,
that is 100%
Chris,
wrong.
What Comey said, was that Trump never asked him about the Russia investigation. Showed no interest in it. He showed interest in loyalty. He showed interest in a whole lot of other
topics. I'm sorry,
topics.
Dave. What I did not
show interest in is the Russia investigation, which is consistent with his tweets of saying it's a hoax.
Took away from the Comey testimony was that Donald Trump, the president of the United States, said to the director of the FBI, I want you to investigate the Russian in interference in our election. And if it turns out that some of my satellites, that is people involved with me and in my campaign, some connected with me, were involved with that, I want to know it, and I want that investigation to go forward.
But that's not remotely the point.
It's an entirely appropriate thing for the President of the United States to say to the Director of the FBI or any other law enforcement agency, I want you to pursue an investigation, and I want to know the results of that investigation because I need to make political decisions,
gentlemen,
regarding that. But I don't want you to, make a referral for a prosecution unless I give the green light.
Watch it again.
I'm entitled to do
gentlemen,
that.
Gentlemen, let me kind of bring it to a different discussion here. When Donald Trump is talking to James Comey, one of the things that was mentioned several times on the program or on the Sunday shows today, Paul Ryan was one that referenced it, Marco Rubio even referenced it, that maybe Donald Trump didn't really know the rule, didn't know what you could say, what was improper or not. That came out. So a question that I would have is, if you're a New York wheeler and dealer and you're a business guy, is it possible that he really doesn't know that there's nothing wrong to have a conversation? Hey, you know, this guy's a good guy. Can't you just look? Isn't that something that a developer would probably talk to a lot of politicians about, and they wouldn't see that it's wrong? It may be wrong, but he wouldn't see that it was wrong because he is not used to being
the president.
If the
president of the United States picked up the telephone and called Renato or an assistant U.S. attorney or somebody in the criminal division of the Justice Department at the operating level and began discussing a case, eyebrow ought to raise. But the President of the United States should be discussing cases and should be discussing the way the FBI does its business and the way the criminal division of the Justice Department does its business with the Attorney General and with the Director of the FBI, and should be doing it often.
Okay.
I have to say, with all due respect, this was not routine discussing of cases with the FBI Director. And frankly, for you to try to spin this as that is dishonest.
No cases that the President of the United States needs to discuss are routine.
The allegation is that the President asked the FBI Director to not pursue an investigation of someone because he was a good guy. Regardless of the legality of that, and regardless of the truth of it, because it still has to be investigated, if that allegation were true, it is highly disturbing.
But that's not even accurate. Didn't Comey testify that he didn't personally view it as a directive?
No, he said the opposite.
He said, I view
it as a directive.
No, hold on. Let's be clear. He said the words were not a directive. It was an expression
of
hope.
The verb was hope.
But right. I took hope. It as a directive. I think we should. Let's just stick to the four corners of the document. I want to get back to this point about prosecutorial discretion, which is truly sacred and does not reside in the hands of unelected bureaucrats.
It resides in the hands of the president.
It resides in the hands of the people of this country or the people of Cook County. We elected a new state's attorney last November. Her name is Kim Fox. Okay.
The only elected federal prosecutor is the president of the
United States. Exactly. And this is the point. This is the foundational principle upon which the Justice Department and all of its ancillary agencies needs to operate. So I don't think anybody is saying that the president has to call up and get in on this or that investigation. Oh, go talk a second time to the upset housewife. No, that's not what is being said. What's being said is the people are reposing trust in an elected official.
Folks, we got to pause. Back shortly with phone calls when we come back. I'm Bruce Dumont.
Juice, Mom. Juice, juice, juice.
Mommy, why are we going to the store? Mom,
I want juice.
Mom.
Your child will have different needs at different stages of life, and that includes the car seat. See, car crashes are a leading killer of children ages 1 to 13. Protect your child's future at every stage of life. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat.
A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to Mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Let's go to Kevin listening to us in Austin, Texas. I'm KLBJ. Go ahead, Kevin. Hello. Kevin. Line two, are you there? Are you there, Kevin? Is there a caller on line two? Let's go to Steve on line four. Are you there?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the taking my phone call.
Good.
And always appreciate your show.
Thank you. You're calling from New Hampshire. Go ahead.
I am calling from New Hampshire, actually listening on the Internet.
Thank you.
There's a baseball game going on. We'll be going on. Anyway, hopefully all four of the guests can agree that Trump does have a history of misrepresentations or outright lies, going back from Muslims celebrating in Jersey City on 9/11, the Bertha movement, and I'm only giving a very quick handful.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd size at the inauguration, the amount of voter fraud, and the crime rates being at the highest level, you know, in 45 years, when in reality they're at a much lower level. It's a tremendous improvement.
Mm-hmm.
So given that, and we listen to the Comey testimony, and then you hear the president on Friday stating, well, taking parts of the testimony that benefited him and saying, yeah, he was correct on that, but then on everything else, that Comey is outright lying. I just want to ask the four guests, who do they actually believe when it comes to those what Comey said? And my opinion is, if the Republican guests say that Trump is that Comey is the one lying. Now, you could say Comey should have had leaks. Comey should have gone. Should have resigned. Well, that's all legitimate. But if the guests can say truthfully that they actually believe that Trump will be the one who is telling the truth and that Comey is lying, I just wonder how they actually live with themselves.
All right, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask all four guests, and then I will render my opinion as well. And I want you to look, guys, for those watching on television, I want you to look right into the camera. We're going to start with you, Dave. I think we know the answers. Dave, who do you believe? Look into the camera and say who you believe.
I believe Comey was telling the truth.
And Joe Morris, look into your camera and you say the same thing.
I don't think that it's necessary to see a contradiction between anything that President Trump and Jim Comey have said. I think there are ways to reconcile everything that both of them have said. And I think it's possible that both of them are also telling untruths.
Telling untruths?
Untruths.
Okay. If you had to pick one...
To what outcome? If I
no,
what issue?
On whether or not one person has a history of being more credible than the other.
There's no doubt about until he admitted that he's a leaker, Jim Comey had a reputation as being the more credible guy. Donald Trump has a reputation as being a shoot from the lip kind of person.
Okay, Renato.
I think Comey's clearly more credible given the contemporaneous notes he had, his personal history, and the fact that the president had been impeached, I think, 30-something times when he testified in a civil case.
Okay. Chris Roebling, look into the camera and give your answer to the question. If they were both here, who would you believe, generally speaking, who would you believe?
I think it's about different things. I really do. I think I agree with Joe that I don't think that there is this irresolvable dichotomy that forces one to choose one side or the other. I think Comey was a very credible witness, and I think that Trump has certainly made his life more complicated by overstating things time and time and time again.
And my answer would be, if you ask me who I would generally believe based on all the track record, I would say I would believe James Comey. But James Comey, in my view, dropped a lot down the ladder when he acknowledged that he took these notes, gave them to a friend for the sole purpose of getting them out because he wanted an outcome. He wanted a special prosecutor who happened to be, turned out to be a friend of his. He didn't know that in advance. And so I would say that I would probably give the edge to Comey, but I think he's duplicitous.
Yeah. I think he's opportunistic. I think he is a Washington player. I think in that sense, in this culture of today, the Trump people would refer to him as a swamp creature. And the Trump people are not, by any stretch, you know, angels. Yeah, he's a show. I said on the radio, he's a hot-dogging showboat when he wasn't a showboating hot dog. And that was days before Trump used the term.
I also think that the Comey moment is over. That is to say, is that all there is?
Yes.
Right.
Jim Comey is not relevant to much that happens after this, in the sense that the evidence that he put on the table provokes in me the what a lawyer would call a demurrer. Well, assume everything he said is true. So what?
Yeah. Well, he's a player in the court of public opinion. He isn't going to be a major
It's atmospheric, but there's no issue that he's speaking to that, okay, that is definitive in this situation.
I would disagree with that. I think certainly there's a question as to whether or not Mueller could have a sufficient evidence of Trump's intent, but there is
to do what?
Mueller is not involved in the Trump.
I can't get a word in edgewise. Why do you guys interrupt every sentence I say? It's frankly impolite and inappropriate.
Okay, go ahead.
So I was making intent intent is an element of obstruction of justice, corrupt intent. And my point is if Mueller can find sufficient evidence of corrupt intent, to obstruct an FBI proceeding, that's what, then there is a potential for a report from Mueller suggesting that, there could be articles of impeachment.
Would you say that based on the testimony of Mr. McCabe, the number two FBI, the acting director at the moment, he hasn't been, the other guy's, Mr. Ray, is going to get the job if he's confirmed. But in his testimony, he said there was never any attempt that he was aware of anyone at the FBI being told to take a dive on this investigation and that it was going to go on. Do you not take that as here's a guy who allegedly is very well liked by the troops in the FBI. He's testifying and he's saying that he was not aware of anything of anybody trying to, muscle him in any way.
Well, to be clear, Comey said is that they insulated the team from this conversation. Unless McCabe disputes Comey's conversation, which is possible, I'm not prejudging the facts of what will come out. All I'm saying is to sit here and say there's nothing to this. Comey exonerated the president, I think is just not truthful. Well, you can't say it with a straight face.
I didn't say exonerate. And when I say there's nothing to it, I am referring to this created idea of collusion between the Trump campaign and then the Trump transition and then the Trump administration with the Russians to the detriment of the interests of the United States of America. There's nothing to that.
We've got to pause back shortly, and when we come back, we're going to talk about reality winner. The Museum of Broadcast Communications is Chicago's perfect place for senior citizens. Enjoy a stroll down memory lane. Reminisce as museum artifacts, photos, and classic TV shows trigger recollections from your childhood. Enjoy the TLC you'll receive from our expert tour guides. Discounts for groups of 20 or more. Schedule yours right now at museum.tv or call 312-245-8200. Plan your fun trip now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Hey everybody, this is Josh Groban. After so many years on the stage, one of my favorite things about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while one in five children may be left not knowing where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Thankfully, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food and helps deliver it to kids in need across the country. But they can't do it alone. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
There can be no stable and enduring peace without the participation of the People's Republic of China and its 750 million people. That is why I have undertaken initiatives in several areas to open the door for more normal relations between our two countries.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago, and Renato, let me ask you the question, because one thing that the president said last week after the James Comey testimony, he said, I'm ready to go, 100%. Already, I'll be under oath. I'll answer the questions before the committee. Do you think that day is ever going to come?
I don't think he's going to testify voluntarily, and I think that his attorney, Mr. Kasowitz, is going to walk back that statement in the not-too-distant future, because no lawyer would permit their client to voluntarily testify. Given what Mr. Mueller's investigation is going to be very extensive, he's going to ask the president a lot of questions that could potentially trap the president into committing perjury.
President would be well advised to listen to his lawyers and not do that. Indeed, from a constitutional point of view, no president should volunteer to testify under such circumstances before Congress. It never happened. It never should happen.
So he does that because he doesn't know any better, or because he thinks it plays well in the court of public opinion?
Both.
It's bravado.
It's bravado. He's a blowhard. No question about that.
Dave Lundy?
Yeah, it was the whole thing about tapes, which, by the way, led to the New York Times, to Comey giving the memo.
Right.
The whole thing about tapes was just more Trump bravado. He says these things because he thinks that his words don't have meaning and consequence anymore, but they do. As Ari Fleischer, the former White House press secretary, today tweeted out, advice for POTUS, you have not been vindicated. You won't be unless Bob Mueller says so. Stop talking. You're headed into a giant perjury trap.
words of wisdom. Words of wisdom. As one who is not a part of the 62 million who voted for Trump, you know, the White House, prior to this enormous interest in the Comey testimony, had already shown itself to be a rattle trap, very poorly organized, very poorly run, and organization which had trouble executing a very simple sort of two-car parade on Memorial Day. And I don't mean to invoke Memorial Day, but... And you really wonder if they have the savvy and if they have the weight inside that White House. You look at somebody, I have been very vocal about this. Reince Priebus needs to go. He's not a national figure. The chief of staff for the president of the United States should be someone whose life choices happen to take him over to where he is or she is, and not to president. But they ought to be the same substance, the same stature. So you see James Baker with a Ronald Reagan. You see some of these chiefs of staff, you know, Howard Baker eventually got in there. There have been others, very weighty individuals. Reince Priebus obviously cannot run the White House. He cannot run the West Wing. He's got to get the heck out of there. I think Don McGahn is an individual who's probably a terrific K Street lawyer, but his chief qualification for the position of White House counsel is loyalty, not substantial mastery. And so,
I'm tempted to ask you to match up Rahm Emanuel with Barack Obama, given this. But listen,
certainly someone of stature.
Let me jump off on your proposition. that the Trump White House, as telegraphed by the Trump campaign, is a mess. One of the reasons why I was very unhappy with the prospect that Donald Trump was going to be the nominee of my party for President of the United States was I thought if Donald Trump is nominated, we would be nominating the only candidate in the mix who would lose to Hillary Clinton, the only candidate that Hillary Clinton could possibly defeat. As it turned out, she couldn't defeat even Donald Trump. But there's a reason why she couldn't defeat even Donald Trump, and the explanation is two words, five words, Loretta Lynch on the tarmac. That is to say, it was an earlier episode of people doing strange things with the Justice Department, in this instance, the Attorney General of the United States herself, and former President Bill Clinton, presumably representing his wife, in that bizarre interaction they had shortly before the election. Do you not agree that that seriously injured Mrs. Clinton's opportunities to defeat Donald Trump?
Dave. I absolutely agree and said so at the time. It was the single dumbest move I've seen a national politician make in all of 2015 and 16, and that includes Marco Rubio with the water bottle. I mean, it was so stunningly idiotic because there was nothing to be gained. Loretta Lynch was going to do what she was going to do regardless of what Bill Clinton said on that tarmac. It only created bad appearances, which led Jim Comey to then have his press conference in which he called her extremely reckless and didn't exonerate her the way that Chris would like to say.
And then that led Jim Comey again to come up with a jury-rigged procedure to deal with the situation
exactly. That
he thought had been compromised, much in the same way, Bruce, coming back to your angst that Jim Comey is now an admitted leaker. He came up with the leaking strategy as a way to attain some end, in this instance, the appointment of a special counsel, that he couldn't figure out how to get legally or through some other pre-existing or appropriate channel.
And it's a judgment. It's a Comey judgment question. And this is where I will probably agree with my Republican colleagues. I have never questioned Comey's integrity, not even when he did what he did in October 28th, the thing that one could argue may or may not have cost her the election. But his judgment is off. His judgment, he is too much. He's not thinking clearly about some of these things, and he just, you know, it led to bad circumstances.
He has a frame of reference within which I believe his perception of the perception of others for him is vastly outsized. And that, I believe, ends up being something of a miscalibration in the entire. So he sits there. He says, I'm the director of the FBI. I am responsible for this investigation. Loretta Lynch has just done this on the tarmac. I'm now going to have to go outside of these boundaries. I'm going to go outside the yellow lines, outside the whatever, and I'm going to come up with a new way, as Joe has said. So I think – but I do believe the Comey thing is passed. I want to make this point.
But it's also a situation where – he was uncomfortable. He said he was confused and conflicted.
Well, that was on the issue of her telling him to refer to an active criminal investigation instead as a matter. Look, I don't.
But he didn't go public with it then. I mean, he wasn't so offended by it. That could be another situation where he could have resigned.
People who worked closely.
But he had already thrust himself into that campaign.
People who worked closely with him in the Bush administration have a. There are many views of what happened in this fateful trip to the George Washington University intensive care unit where our attorney general, your friend John Ashcroft, was receiving treatment, and there was a dispute over something.
And Jim Comey at that point was the deputy attorney general.
Yeah.
There was another moment in Comey's testimony when the little red light said maybe he should have thought about resigning and going public with the issue came up, and that was when he testified that Loretta Lynch came to him and dictated to him the terms in which he should describe the investigation into the matters pertaining to Mrs. Clinton, not using the term investigation, which is the normal thing that the Federal Bureau of Investigation does, but instead use the Clinton campaign language, talk about it being a quote-unquote matter, that he's being told by the Attorney General of the United States to adopt as his public rhetorical position regarding a matter within his official portfolio, using the language of a particular political campaign, was a troubling thing, and resignation should have crossed his mind as an option under those circumstances.
The consistency with Comey is that he saw Loretta Lynch on the tarmac, so to speak, with Clinton. He heard Loretta Lynch tell him to call it a matter. He saw Trump at the Trump Tower, at the White House. He heard Trump say, Flynn's a good guy. I hope he can get out of this. And in no case did he give up power. He was clinging to power. He wasn't resigning.
He doesn't do what the honorable civil servant in a democracy ought to do. Instead, he works around it and crumbs up with other channels.
But that's true with a lot of people. That's true with a lot of people.
Self-preservation. I mean, that's the
there was the whole removal of Article 5 language at the NATO summit, and nobody said McMaster should have resigned.
We got to pause. 1-800-723-8209. More calls when we come back from Chicago. I'm Bruce Dumont. Thanks for joining us tonight.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
Thank you all very much, Admiral Kelly, Captain Card, officers and sailors of the USS Abraham Lincoln, my fellow Americans. Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school. Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Let's go to Dave listening to us on WKBN in Columbus, Ohio. Go ahead. Youngstown, Ohio. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hey. Hi.
Dave, yes, are you there?
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Okay. I preface this with the fact that I am a Trump voter, you might say, and I do happen to have a degree, two of them, and I have lived inside the Beltway and outside. So listening to what back and forth, you're both all right. And the fact is, if you take Comey at his word, everything he said, if you take it all, you take all of it. You take his own words. His words are that he was given a directive by Loretta Lynch, and his actions were different, and his thoughts are different about what to do about that based on his actions, as opposed to what he did when he talks about Donald Trump, president, and he says, I took it as a directive, but I could be wrong. Well, that's a very careful statement to say I could be wrong. So that's the whole thing. So either you want to look at the whole thing or don't look at it. But you got to have all of it. So treat it all the same. You don't have to take a side. Well, let Mueller go for it.
Renato.
I agree with you. I didn't vote for Mr. Trump. I'll be upfront with that. But I agree with you on that point. I think in any conversation, when I was a prosecutor, I would ask witnesses on the stand, what did you understand this person to mean? And there are two parties in a conversation, and there can be at times differences in understanding. And I think, like you said, Mr. Mueller should carefully interview everyone connected to this, and ultimately he can make factual findings that he can present to Congress, and they can do with it what they will.
I'm the one who'll take the inflammatory position here. I don't think, even assuming everything that Bob Mueller, Jim Comey said was true, I don't think it shows evidence of any crime. I think that the President of the United States has the authority and the duty in a democracy to impede the FBI. That is to say, I don't want you to do certain things. I want you, alternatively, to do other things. That's the President's job. The President is politically responsible to the American people for everything that every federal law enforcement agency does. He's responsible for their success and their excesses and their errors of investigation and prosecution. He has that political responsibility, and he therefore has the authority under the Constitution to exercise authority over the investigative agencies and the work they do.
Not if he acts with an improper purpose. If the President of the United States took a bribe and as a result of that bribe stopped an investigation, the point that you made has limits. And the question is, what was the purpose and intent of the president? And that's what Mr. Mueller.
And the question is, how do you cure that? And the answer is, you as a subordinate of the President of the United States, your job is not to work out some informal arrangement that doesn't exist under the Constitution or the laws to try to cure it. Your job is to do what the system allows you to do. If you're the immediate subordinate, you resign and you go public.
From Youngstown, let's move to Cleveland, Ohio. Rick is listening to us tonight on the Internet. Nice to hear from Cleveland. Go ahead.
Hey, Bruce. I can't believe what I'm hearing. I mean, I haven't seen one scintilla of any evidence that Donald Trump colluded with the Russians. What I have seen is that on June 29th, Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch met on the tarmac in, was it Kansas City, 6 days or 7 days later.
I think it was
later,
in Arizona.
Arizona, I'm sorry.
Phoenix.
Within a week, James Comey comes out and says, well, I've done this investigation, and we're not going to, I don't believe there's enough information. There's enough there to bring forth a criminal complaint against Hillary. First of all, and your prosecutor, U.S. attorney should back me up on this, it's not the FBI's decision to bring charges. That's up to the attorney general. The FBI is an investigative branch of the government, a federal branch. They investigate. They take their evidence and give it to the attorney general. The attorney general's office makes the decision whether or not to bring forth charges.
Rick, Chris Roebling has a comment for you, then I'll get some other response.
Rick, my heart goes out to you, and I have inhabited the same bizarre world as you have, and I agree with you. It's frustrating as heck. And folks like my friend Dave here, who are so upset about stuff for which they have no evidence, they believe something was wrong. I'm going to assume they're sincere in that belief, but they've got no evidence. And then you get into the Loretta Lynch thing, or you get into how Comey arrogated to himself these authorities, which aren't those of the FBI director. And at the time, there wasn't anyone at the Democratic side of the aisle who was at all. They were desperate to elect Hillary. The rule of law meant nothing.
So what? Exactly. I think our caller has pointed out.
Joe Morris, then back to you, Rick, and then we'll hear from the Democratic side.
At the very, very beginning of Rick's comment, I think he put his finger on what the underlying issue is here for the American people. And Dave, I think you were unfair in telling Chris that this was a straw man. Maybe you don't believe this, and it's to your credit that you don't believe it, but there are a lot of people out there in the leftish blogosphere who truly believe that Donald Trump in some way, on purpose, intentionally participated with Vladimir Putin and Russian agents in trying to affect, influence the outcome of the presidential election, whether it was generating the kind of information or issues that were being discussed through leaks out of the Obama administration or the Mrs. Clinton's papers and so her server and so forth, or it was through other devices, other machinations. In short, there are people who are trying to relitigate the 2016 election.
No, that is not what is happening here.
And contending that the Trump victory, the only explanation for the Trump victory was the taint of the Russian intervention.
Look, I have said, and I said this the Sunday after the election when I came on this program and Bruce shoved it up my you-know-what with that video clip
ear.
Of me.
Well, you made a prediction. I made a prediction, and
Bruce was very happy.
And you sloughed off that Donald Trump was even a serious candidate, but that's
yes.
okay.
And
But go ahead. I don't have the tape
tonight.
I was wrong.
Nonetheless, I blame Hillary's loss on Hillary's abominable campaign.
Do you deny that the issue is what really is animating people out there? People are excited, sweating about this Donald Trump issue. Is the belief that Donald Trump colluded with Russians to skew the outcome of the election?
Well,
you're not claiming that, but there are people
who
are doing it.
Hang on.
That's
first
what
of all. Let's
is
talk
about.
About the collusion, the no collusion issue, the no evidence of collusion, because Roebling and I get into this all the time.
Have no evidence.
Let him finish.
There is no evidence of collusion today. What there is evidence of is that Donald Trump personally and his associates and Manafort and Flynn and Carter Page and Jeff Sessions and on and on and on all had contacts with Russians and lied about them. They all had interests in Russia and lied about them. Manafort personally lied about the issue you raised earlier about the changing of the Republican platform. When Manafort said, no, and Trump said, no, we didn't change the Republican platform to water down the Ukraine language. Well, then it turns out he did. They lied about it. So what I don't know, and this is when people talk about, well, there's smoke, there's just no fire yet. I don't know. I can't prove the collusion between all of these people who have Russian interests.
interests and the involvement with the election, although I can prove now that Nigel Farage spent 45 minutes in the embassy with Julian Assange from WikiLeaks. We know that happened because he was caught walking out of the embassy. There's a ton of interesting information here that I am very excited that Bob Mueller is investigating.
By the way, Comey also said there was no evidence that any votes were changed.
Wait. Let's understand this.
That was another thing.
Nobody's arguing.
I want to say, David, I accept what you say with respect to its reference to Dave Lundy. But I think that Joe is making a very significant historical point, an observation, with innumerable reference out there in the blogosphere, in the newspapers, in the popular culture, in the, you know, academy. People are convinced, some people say they are convinced, that Trump had financial relations with Russia and a determination to beat Hillary at all costs.
Well, he did have financial relations with Russia.
That led him to colluding at the expense of the integrity of the office he was seeking. Okay. That is, you might not be saying it right now, but I think somewhere between 96% and 98% of those on the left are saying precisely
that. No, I think
that
he's compromised by Russia in other ways. I'm not saying that compromise was the collusion.
He also said he was very clear during the campaign that he thought that it was a good idea to make friends with your enemies. He talked about that.
As did Obama 8 years earlier.
Obama never did.
I will meet with the malocracy.
The chair recognizes Renato.
Thank you. I think you're overstating the number of Democrats who have that belief. But what I'd say is this. One thing that's troubling about our democracy in general is there are too many people on both sides who have such extreme positions and don't listen to one another that it is harming our political discourse. So there are people on the left, and I debate them on Twitter now. You know, in people who I respect, like Lawrence Tribe, who I just think have positions that are not supported by the evidence or, in his case, the law. But there are people on the other side who say, for example, that Mueller is conducting a partisan witch hunt or other things that are just – or that, for example, I've even heard it today, that even if you believe everything Comey said, that there's no possibility there was obstruction. I think that's not supported by the evidence. I think all of us should live in a fact-based reality and be willing to talk to each other.
That's why we have this program every Sunday night.
Yeah.
So we can have partisans, and we can have lawyers who also have positions as well.
I have a kind of a personal angle here over the last 4 years.
Can you tell in 15 seconds?
I'll do my best. I've been very, very upset during the last 4 years of the Obama administration, the insouciance, the carelessness of the Obama administration about efforts by the Russians and the Chinese to hack into American data. The Chinese have all of the personnel records of the agency of which I used to be general counsel, the Office of Personnel Management, all the current personnel and retirement records of every federal civil servant, including members of Congress and the judiciary. Very dangerous stuff, and the Obama administration didn't take it seriously until the heat was on during the 2016 campaign and stuff was leaking out injurious to Mrs. Clinton.
Back shortly from Chicago.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Thanks very much for joining us. One of the other big stories last week is that you've heard me complain over and over again about leakers. Leakers never are prosecuted. Well, we finally have a leaker who has been prosecuted. She's 25 years old. She is a reality winner. The Justice Department went after her big time. A judge didn't even give her any bond. So she's in the slammer somewhere in Georgia right now. Is this a good idea that the government is going after her big time, Joe?
It's time to start. It has to start somewhere. The boundaries, the definitions of whistleblowing have dissolved. There's an honorable and a right way to bring information to the public. There is a wrong and injurious way to do it. The national security has been seriously damaged, not just in the context of elections and partisan moments, although God knows the last two elections have been seriously roiled. Made murky by leaks and so forth. But people like Julian Assange and Chelsea Manning and so forth are people who are injuring the United States, the people of America. They are endangering our security, our lives, our safety. They are causing the deaths of people who work for us, soldiers and intelligence agents and so forth overseas. This is wrong. It is treasonous. It should be prosecuted.
Renato.
Distributing classified information is a crime. She should have been charged. I think any administration of either party would have charged her. And frankly, she needs a good attorney. She seems like she doesn't have one right now. She's been making some statements. She should not say anything and try to get the best sentencing that, you know, get the best sentence possible.
Spoken like a good lawyer, Renato. What we're seeing here, however, is, I think, a culture. It's fun to be a leaker. The Julian Assange thing. It's fun to do this.
Well, Chelsea Manning was let out.
President Obama gave her
saw
clemency.
Fit to basically say, what this individual did
wasn't so bad.
Was not bad enough to merit the full sentence.
These people deserve no honor. They should not be lionized on the comedy talk shows at 10 o'clock.
And I want to say there were times in the Obama administration when it was pretty hard-nosed about leaking, and it did bring prosecutions, and it should bring prosecutions. And I want to say, pick up on the point that Joe made about individuals. We Americans cannot know what is happening in the world alone. We are not enough. There are not enough of us, and we're not well enough placed. What that means is we have to talk to people elsewhere who know what the heck is going on. And at times, we have to ask those people to take steps in informing us about what's going on that they might consider, or more importantly, the regime under which they live might consider, injurious to that regime. Now, that is a vast request to make of someone. And it is the most solemn and the most serious and the most significant request that can be made.
Shame the
and
president himself blew that with Israel.
I want to get your reaction.
That didn't happen.
Dave, I want to get your reaction.
You're politicking.
Dave, I want to get your reaction to the reality winner, and should she be made an example of?
Idiot. She's an idiot. First of all, she's an idiot. She shouldn't have done it. The journalist who she leaked the material to did not protect his source. That person is also an idiot. I'm dumbfounded by the stupidity of some of these people.
Getting back to the main point
that these gentlemen were making, I completely agree. I think Julian Assange should be, if he can be brought to justice in the United States, I think he should be. People have been killed because of Julian Assange.
Snowden.
Same way. I have this argument with my liberal friends all the time. Edward Snowden may have been bringing out an important point, but the sacrifices of people because of what he did, the damage to the United States national security is incalculable.
Well, and we can't
imagine. To what extent? And by the way, we should mention that we say this when you're on the. You used to work for the CIA. You may still do. I don't know that. Chris Roebling, we're talking about you in your younger years.
You have the right to remain silent.
He can't talk about
but
that.
He can't, so or he'd have to kill me if he did, or have to kill everybody. Yeah, no. But my question is this. Does this incident involving a reality winner, and she was writing all kinds of stuff on Facebook. I mean, for someone working in the intelligence field, she certainly
idiot. That's this is the point.
Thing. As you said, she's an idiot. But here's my point. How aggressive, or should the government be aggressive in checking out all the people that work for the intelligence agencies, because if there's a Snowden in there or there's a reality winner, she can't be the only 25-year-old
The contractors.
There is an elaborate process for checking the suitability and the security and the loyalty of people who are both civil servants and contractors that clearly has been eroding in recent years. It needs to be beefed up. It needs to be taken seriously again. And reality winner, what a great name.
Yes.
She deserves opprobrium and scorn. She must be made like Carlos Danger and Anthony Weiner. She must be made a joke.
Yes.
People ought to say, "Well, Anthony Weiner is soon going to be single again, Huma." If she married Carlos Danger, she'd be
reality Danger.
Wiener.
Hey, oh, come on. Okay. There's a little bit of a just 2 seconds in the weeds. Three of us here filled out an 18 to 24 page form.
SF-86
PHS personal history statement.
Yes,
that was then handed to people at the FBI who used it as a basis to investigate us. So before we got cleared for whatever it is that we did. Okay, and then I had the privilege of after serving in government, I worked with so-called Beltway bandits who are consultants to the government, and that's where I found out about so-called company confidential. So where you have the 18 to 24 page PHS on the government side, when you're working with contractors, there are a lot of people who come in under a company confidential, which is essentially what happens when you get stopped by a cop on the side of the Eisenhower Expressway and they run to find out, is this guy wanted in any states? And then it comes back, no, you get your company confidential. All of a sudden you're seeing classified information. I believe Joe is absolutely, he's got his finger right on the button as a former general counsel of the Office of Personnel Management. This whole company confidential system, which has enabled people in the private sector to hire people quickly, to staff up, to do work for the federal government, and ultimately the American taxpayer, has eroded. And that's how you get a Snowden, who had no business being anywhere close to the gravity of information that he had in his hands.
I want to ask a procedural question, so we have two former Justice Department officials with us. The legal team that Robert Mueller is putting together now, does it have a budget? How many people are being hired? I mean, if you go to a major law firm, and a lot of these people they have to resign and give up their partnership. How are they compensated? Because I mean, if you're a lawyer at a big firm, you're making millions of dollars sometimes. How does the government set a rate for them to be paid?
They're being paid at the government rate. They are leaving. They're leaving their private employment. They're drawing.
What is the government rate? Do you know?
There's a range. There's a range that could be anywhere here, say between $100,000 and about $180,000.
Okay.
Depending on the.
Just not a lot of money.
Not a lot of money. They're probably less money than they're making in their law firms, but they have to leave their law firms and draw a clear line in the sand. They're no longer employed by their law firms. They're now employed by the United States government. They undergo suitability and security investigations. They're fully vetted in terms of their background investigations. They become federal employees in terms of their health insurance and life insurance. And they're on a federal payroll, and they take the oath to protect the United States of America, to defend and support the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Renato.
I agree with everything he said. The one point I will make as an addition is you talked about budget. The only way in which there could be interference from an outside of the Deputy Attorney General and Mueller's team would be a defunding of the Special Counsel's Office, which will not happen, but theoretically could.
But also, just what Chris earlier suggested, that the team members that are being put together by Mueller may have some political taint to them. How do you avoid that? Or is that not possible in the political world of Washington?
Mueller reports to the Deputy Attorney General because Jeff Sessions has recused himself. So the Deputy Attorney General is now in charge of Bob Mueller. It is to the Deputy Attorney General that Mueller reports. And it's the Deputy Attorney General who provides his budget. If the Deputy Attorney General is not adequately funding the operation.
That's Rosenstein?
Yes. The Oversight and Appropriations Committees in Congress are certainly going to be eyeing exactly what this is costing and want to make sure it's fully funded.
My only point is Congress could defund. But as to the individuals that are working for Mr. Mueller, I know some of them, and I know most, if not all of them by reputation, and these are some of the best legal minds out there. And I think there's a bipartisan consensus in the legal community that Mueller is assembling a dream team, an all-star team of sorts around him. And I think it gives me as a lawyer in this, who's sort of been around this area, a lot of confidence in the work he's doing.
You can't deny that there's basis for concern when you find the story of Patrick Fitzgerald, who I've had the privilege of meeting and interacting with, and he's an extraordinary person, a great public servant, a very public-spirited person. There's no question about it, with great capabilities. But on the day he took that job, he knew who had leaked the Valerie Plame information. He knew it was Richard Armitage, and he knew that he had not done it for any political reason. I mean, that is historic fact. Those are accomplished facts of history. There is no disputing it.
Is he working on the investigation?
Wait a minute.
No, he's not.
And he went,
I don't know why Chris
is going
here.
I am stating this because there is enormous concern about this institution. And that these individuals, once in office, can run amok to execute a political or legal agenda unknown to the rest of us.
People like Pat Fitzgerald were working for Bob Mueller. We can all have a lot of confidence in the efficacy and integrity of that investigation. And I'll say that as someone who's worked for and knows Pat Fitzgerald. That would be my take.
But he spends 4 or 5 years, and he ends up indicting Scooter Libby for something entirely unrelated to the original issue.
Scooter Libby is a criminal. That's the bottom line.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Mom, juice.
Your child will have different needs at different stages of life, and that includes the car seat. See, car crashes are a leading killer of children ages 1 to 13. Protect your child's future at every stage of life. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat.
A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to Mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Chris Dumont back in Chicago. The Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, he's going to go before the Senate Intelligence Committee this week. What should we watch for him, I'm going to ask you, Renato.
One thing that I think will be an interesting question and answer is somebody in the Senate is going to ask him, did Donald Trump ask you for your loyalty? What did you understand that to mean, and what did you say in return? That'll be a very interesting exchange.
I think the point here is that Paul Ryan has been laying down on his congressional sofa. He's got his clicker in his hand, and he's watching the Nats game. And nothing. I mean, apart from there's a little effort
this
week. The
Nats game, not the match game.
The Nats
Nationals.
Game. The Nationals, yeah. Baseball. That's all they care about down there anymore. So it was so great when they didn't have a team because people had to act like they were working. Now that there is a team, they don't even act like they're. They just watch the Nats game. So guy, Ryan, has failed entirely to schedule votes on the Trump legislative agenda. There should be 2 big votes per week, and he ought to be finding 220 to 230 votes on behalf of those proposals every week. And that is, and then sending him over to Mitch McConnell. And here's the next point. He should not worry about the Senate or about Mitch McConnell. Why? That's why God invented Mitch McConnell. He can worry about what will get through the Senate and when, and that's not Ryan's issue. Everything we spend talking about this stuff is a waste of time.
Who can put the pressure on him to do it?
I'm trying to with your program.
Well, okay. Well, then it'll be done next week.
I am calling on Paul Ryan to get up off the sofa Turn off the Nats game and get to work.
For what it's worth, I think that Sessions is going to be asked about that third meeting that he had that he conveniently forgot, along with the other meetings he forgot to put on his form. I think that
he's consistently forgetful.
He's consistently forgetful. It's interesting. They're all consistently forgetful when it comes to their contacts with Russia.
You can also he's also going to be asked for sure. Why did you do nothing when James Comey talked to you about the meeting that he had with the president? Now he may deny it. I think that would be an interesting conflict between Sessions and Comey, but one way or the other, that's going to come up, and that'll be very interesting.
There have been two big things in the Sessions thing.
There'll be published reports, Joe. There have been published reports that Trump is not pleased with General Sessions. Do you think General Sessions could be pushed out by this president, or would that create yet another firestorm?
Anything that President Trump does will create a firestorm. That's the nature of the times, and we have an organized resistance for the first time in
America.
Would
that be a good idea?
I think that anything that invigorates the checks and balances built into the American constitutional system is a good idea. American people should not trust their government as a general proposition. We should be very jealous about giving power away to anybody, Democrat or Republican, and look over their shoulders constantly to see what they do with it. I'm delighted that some of my friends on the left have discovered all these wonderful checks and balances that for the last 8 years they didn't realize were there, but now should be employed vigorously.
I'm pretty sure I remember the last 8 years of checks and balances, and they were a lot more vigorous than they have been under this Congress and this White House.
Well, no way.
They're wonderful things, and they should be deployed vigorously.
There would have been 14 committees on Hillary Clinton if the amount of evidence that is out there about the contacts with Russia had taken place and all the rest of it.
There will be two big things that will come up with Jeff Sessions.
We've only got about 9 minutes left, but I want to ask. Start with you, Dave. You make this big point. You've made it for many, many months on this program. You believe there has been some collusion, even though there's no specific evidence as yet. If that's the case, and Donald Trump is now the president of the United States, what do you want the United States to do with Russia? What should we do with them now? More sanctions? Should we get the bomb ready? What do we do?
Yes, more sanctions, not the bomb. No, the bomb. Yet, no on bomb. Yes, on sanctions. Look, Russia is being increasingly meddlesome. Not just with us, what they did in Ukraine. There's a lot of concern about what they're going to do in the Baltics. I have a great deal of concern about where Putin is going because he's been emboldened by this president and the meeting that he had, the meeting that Trump had with Kislyak in the Oval Office, where the American media was excluded and the Russian press or the Russian photographer was included, is that, I mean, people say, why are you so obsessed with Russia? Because they are. Because Trump is. He keeps doing things that gets himself into trouble.
I can tell
trouble.
You in 10 seconds what we ought to do. We should call the 1980s and ask them for that foreign policy back. That's the foreign policy we need. Trust but verify. President Reagan's attitude toward the Russians is exactly right.
We need that on top of something that Reagan also brought to the table, which has been woefully lacking. I think that the Bush administration was fixated on 9/11 and making sure that that didn't happen again. The Obama administration, I think, whatever its intentions, tried to take a vacation from leadership. I think the reality is that we need a 21st century national strategy. And this is because China has a strategy and Russia has a strategy. And there are other elements out there in the world, people like ISIS, I don't think ISIS is anywhere close to China or close to Russia in terms of size, significance, threat. But there are a lot of unexplained actors. And the United States, I believe, because of Bush's understandable fixation on preventing another 9/11, Obama's vacation from leadership, and now Trump, who doesn't think strategically, he only thinks tactically. We lack a strategy upon which we would build.
Renato, I want to get Renato's response.
Thanks. I think the United States should be affirming its commitment to NATO. And frankly, what we need to be doing is making sure that the Russia knows that they are, that if there is an inch that they take out of, for example, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, the United States will be there with military force. And that is something that should have bipartisan support because the transatlantic alliance that we have is the bedrock of stability prosperity.
Does all the discussion from the Democrats and some in the media about the perceived softness that Donald Trump might have towards Russia, because of these allegations that have been made? Is it going to force Donald Trump and this administration to act aggressively in any confrontation with the Soviet
Union? All Donald Trump needs to do is listen to McMaster.
Yes, that's
listen
right.
to Mattis. If he does that, and if he takes their advice, we'll be okay.
Because McMaster is erasing the Obama vacation from global leadership.
We're out of time. Our thanks to our guests. Thank you all for being with us. It was a very lively time. Don't leave. You're going to step into my close-up shot. I want to thank the ever-popular Fritz Goldman and Dan Dorfman and Samuel Greenberg running the board tonight. We thank you all for helping us with Beyond the Beltway. Until next week, this is Bruce Dumont. Good night from Chicago. The Museum of Broadcast Communications is Chicago's perfect place for senior citizens. Enjoy a stroll down memory lane. Reminisce as museum artifacts, photos, and classic TV shows trigger recollections from your childhood. Enjoy the TLC you'll receive from our expert tour guides. Discounts for groups of 20 or more. Schedule yours right now at museum.tv or call 312-245-8200. Plan your fun trip now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Hey, everybody, this is Josh Groban. After so many years on the stage, one of my favorite things about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while one in five children may be left not knowing where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Thankfully, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food and helps deliver it to kids in need across the country. But they can't do it alone. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
A historic moment from the archives at museum.tv.
There can be no stable and enduring peace without the participation of the People's Republic of China and its 750 million people. That is why I have undertaken initiatives in several areas to open the door for more normal relations between our two countries.
Experience more history at museum.tv.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.